It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for Feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning and welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth and I'm here today at one of my favorite shows. I always make sure I get to do this show. We have women in federal law enforcement with us today in the studio. For those of you who are in law enforcement, you know them as WIFL. I'm going to say it again, women in federal law enforcement. And we have with us a repeat offender here in our studio, Margie Moore. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, Deborah.
I was joking about that. Margie's one of my absolute favorite guests. She's so committed to the cause. She really is. She's an enormous, articulate advocate for the issues facing women in federal law enforcement. For those of you who do not know Margie, Margie is the executive director of WIFL, and she's also the president of the WIFL Foundation. And is it fair to say, Margie, that you're also essentially a founder of WIFL?
Yes, I'm one of the founders.
Yeah. And so she always tells the great story, which may, you know, for those of you who've heard it before, bear with us. But I like her to always tell the story of how WIFL got its beginnings. And we're also very fortunate to have another member of WIFL with us in the studio. This is her maiden voyage here in the studio with us. And so, but we're all very nice. You don't have to worry. We have Jessie Lane with us. Good morning, Jessie.
Good morning, Deborah.
And Jessie is the president of WIFL's executive committee. So she's essentially the president of the WIFL the member association. And it's great to have you with us. And we're hoping that you'll enjoy being here as much as we'll enjoy having you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Jessie, I just learned, is with U.S. Secret Service. And if you can believe it, because I think it's hard to find anywhere for anyone these days. Although I've been with my law firm for 21 years. You have been with the Secret Service for, what did you say?
32 years.
32 years.
Yes.
One place. It's really home.
It is definitely home. And I can say it has been a tremendous career.
Tell our listeners what you do there and, more importantly, what drew you to this organization and also to be a leadership in it.
I am currently the diversity program manager for the United States Secret Service, and it is quite an awesome responsibility. It's one that I thoroughly enjoy. And as a result of my affiliation with the Secret Service, we render our support to the WIFL organization, and that's how I got my start.
And what is it that drew you to personally become involved? It's one thing, I see it as part of your job. You know, it's part of the duties of the job. And sometimes people's jobs overflow into their own personal interests, but a lot of people, they leave the job at work, you know, and when they go home, they have other interests. But being, you know, an officer in an association is an enormous amount of your own time.
It really is. But it is the premise on which the WIFL Foundation and WIFL Incorporated operate. They believe in gender equity, and they support the recruitment and future aspirations of women across the federal, state, and local law enforcement. And I think it's a tremendous cause, and I really wanted to be a part of that.
And you are. You're now the president of WIFL Incorporated. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's a great honor.
And Margie tells me, I think, am I correct, Margie? She's the first non-sworn officer?
Yes. As you know, WIFL is just not for agents, sworn personnel. It's for non-sworn, and we have a number of members that are non-sworn. So we recruited Jessie to become part of the executive committee, and now this is her year to be president.
Well, congratulations, Jessie, and make it work. Right?
I will give it my best shot.
And for those of you who have listened to our WIFL show, our annual WIFL show, you know that we do it to introduce people to the organization. I think it's a great organization. Jesse's going to tell us how you can become a member. It's such a nominal fee, but more important, you know, actually not as important. I think it's probably more important to become a member, but one of the things that WIFL does, and we highlight it on our radio show, which is another reason why we like to have WIFL on annually, is their annual conference. And we will get to the agenda in the annual conference later on in our show. It's just, it's remarkable what, you know, the topics that they are able to put together and the individuals are able to get to speak. It's really, it's beyond first class. And every year I always say to Margie, how do you do it? You know, how do you put, and she says, I work all year doing it. But Jesse, tell us who can become a member and how you go and how you actually join.
Well, there are the membership in particular, you can really access the WIFL website at www.wifl.org. We have a conference coming up, Deborah, as you mentioned, and we have two types of membership. There's the regular membership for law enforcement participants and an associate membership for non-sworn. The membership cost for the regular members is $125 for 3 years, and $80 for the associate member, and it allows you to be a part of WIFL for 3 years. But WIFL offers so many opportunities with its member benefits, such as leadership training, advanced skills seminars, news about upcoming career opportunities, both in the sworn and non-sworn categories. We have tremendous networking opportunities throughout the year. We have a monthly meeting that we host, too, for all members here in the Washington, D.C. area. So there's so many benefits to being a part of this organization. It's just being in the presence and company of women who are aspiring to greatness is really a tremendous thing to be a part of.
Yeah, and you know, I always take that opportunity every year. I always like to say that sometimes it's not, you know, if I send my check, what do I get in return? Sometimes it's about just recognizing that it's a great cause and it only will exist if somebody financially supports it. And for many people, they benefit from the work federal employee associations do on their behalf, and even if they're not a member. And it's sort of a token gesture, because you can join. Can't you join WIFL just for a year? Isn't there a 1 year? And it's less expensive for those. You know, it's less expensive for those who might not want to join for 3 years, but they could certainly try it out at least. And that information, because I've been on your website, that information is also on your website, and I think it's $50.
It is $50 and $35 as well. So you can join for a 1 year time span.
And try it out and see if your financial support brings value to you, because they are an advocacy group. They put on this conference, and Marge is actually going to tell us some additional ideas that WIFL's working on later on in the show. For those people who are interested in joining, you know what you didn't say? Can men join also?
Of course, the membership is open. We believe in diversity in WIFL as well.
Right.
In fact, one of our first lifetime members is a man, Ron Noble, head of Interpol. And we're very pleased to have our membership increase, and we welcome anybody who supports our mission, our goals. One of the other things, Jesse, I just wanted to mention, and I know we've added some really good benefits as part of membership, and one is the representation for our members, if needed, 2 half-hour sessions with the wonderful law firm of...
Thank you, Margie. Our law firm, Shaw, Bransford & Roth, we have partnered with WIFL to offer members, only members, because you don't have to be a member to go to the conference, correct?
No, you do not have to be a member.
But If you want the membership benefits, which includes 2 free half-hour consultations with our law firm, you have to be a member. And also, you have a discount on the federal professional liability insurance.
We have a discount with the feds. That's the professional liability. Tony Vergnetti, personal friend and colleague from ATF. We find that's very helpful to our members, as well as our partnership with Marist College.
That's right.
And that is really tremendous, because if you are a member and you want to pursue a master's degree in public administration, Typically, that will cost you about $26,000. But as a member, and only a member only, you will get that for $13,000.
Yeah, I saw that on your website, and I thought that was quite impressive. And then I clicked through to Marist College, and they're real. And so I was like, okay.
No, I've thoroughly checked out Marist College.
Right, I'm sure you.
IBM is a big sponsor. They're upstate
New York. They're upstate New York, and it's
beautiful,
a beautiful campus.
Sits right on the Hudson. Met with all the faculty.
Yeah,
They're very glad to have us.
Yeah, I know. I checked it out. And so there are some, for those people who feel they want something in return other than feeling connected to an organization that advances, you know, their ideals, there are some very good membership benefits. Thank you, Margie, for noting our law firm. We do need to take our first break. I want to remind our listeners that Fed Talk is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes can save you 15% on car insurance. Of course, for more information on GEICO, you can go to their website, geico.com. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hello, my federal friends. It's the GEICO Gecko, and I've got good news for you. I might even say it's some of the best news ever. Okay, well, definitely in the top three. The big news. GEICO now offers discounts for most federal employees GS7 or above, which is no doubt a lot of you out there. So you could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, all with a company that began over 70 years ago with the sole purpose of serving government employees like yourself. Yeah, that's right. GEICO, the government employees insurance company. And today, well, we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. And did you know about GEICO's 97% customer satisfaction rate? Well, saving money tends to make people rather happy, I think. So congrats again to those federal employees GS7 or above. Welcome to the Savings Club. Mike?
Got it. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. The Gecko's right. Discounts are available for most federal employees GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local GEICO office to see how much you could save.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth, and today our show is featuring WIFL, Women in Federal Law Enforcement. With us in studio is Margie Moore. She's the executive director of WIFL, and of course we have WIFL's president, Jesse Lane. We were speaking with Jesse at the beginning of our show about who can become a member, how to join. If you just joined us, go to their website, WIFLE.org. It gives you all the information about who can join, how to join. There is a WIFL hosts its annual conference this year. It's June 21st, the week of June 21st in Long Beach, California. Go because I'm speaking. It's the first time I've been invited. I had to beg to get invited. But it's the first time I'm going to be there. I'm very excited. And we are going to talk about the annual conference's agenda. It's really fascinating. You know, WIFL always puts together a great list of topics and speakers. But for those of you who are new to this organization, it's always great to have Margie tell the story of how WIFL got its beginning. And I wonder, Margie, at what point you'll be tired of telling that story?
Well, only when you stop asking. So I will continue to tell the story, and a lot of people do find it kind of interesting. I hope the Vice President, Monica Rocchio, of the WIFL Foundation is listening in, because Monica was one of the founding mothers, as I like to refer to ourselves. And it was at the 1999 when WIFL was winding down inside government. Initially, it was an interagency committee that was formed by Treasury and Justice Departments with the goal of recruiting and retaining more women. That phased out, and with the blessing of Treasury and Justice, they suggested, you know, this should go nonprofit. Hence, I was retiring and said, well, this is what I want to do. So a bunch of women were sitting around my kitchen table.
Isn't that how it always starts?
It always, around the kitchen table.
If you talk to the guys at FLEO and you ask them how it started, it started around a table. And I don't remember if it was like a diner or a kitchen table, but it was the same thing.
It is. It sitting around a kitchen table, and we threw in $500 each. And there were about five or six of us who did that. And that's how we started WIFL, the membership organization. And we started the conferences or continued the conferences. And I will say the ATF right in that 1999 when we're transitioning was a big supporter of WIFL. And we really appreciated that director, John McGaugh, really helped us out a lot. And Judy Bronstein was a big help.
And, of course, for those, like I know that Margie's former is retired ATF agent, but that's the connection there with ATF.
Yes. So from there, we just worked our hearts out to continue to bring the conferences to the women and to the agencies. It was so important because women did not have a forum to meet and to network and to exchange ideas and to listen to each other and to learn from each other. Because it still is a male-dominated profession.
And you have some stats on that. Every year you come in with some stats. And every year, I got to say, I'm surprised about the underrepresentation because for many of our listeners, they might know that as an attorney practicing in the field of representing federal employees, I represent a lot of federal law enforcement officers. And I do see more men in my practice, but I don't notice. I guess that's the thing. I don't really notice the percentage of representation, but it is kind of notable.
Yes, and some agencies do better than others. I will say that the Bureau of Justice Statistics, their recent survey from last year was 15%, 16%, and then 20%. But it was kind of confusing because not all the agencies participated in the survey, so they had to adjust their comparisons. Some of the agencies, for instance, like the FBI, has about 19-20% women, the bigger agency. You look at the IG community, and they have about 25% women. But overall, the average is about 15%. So we're still trying to break some barriers and to increase the population of women in law enforcement.
So you've been, both of you have been in law enforcement. I know, Jesse, you're not a sworn officer, but it's the bread and butter of your job. It's diversity and recruitment. What do you attribute to the decades of underrepresentation? Even here we are in 2011. What do you attribute that to?
Well, we just did a survey, and some of the issues, and we've done another research paper, about 65% of the women would leave an agency if they had to because of family care issues and pregnancy. So if we can solve that across the board, then I think agencies will have a better retention rate. They will be more attractive. I mean, how better to recruit women than to say, well, look, when you come with us, this is what you can expect. Mm-hmm. Here is our plan for you. Here's a pregnancy policy. Here's what happens when you have elder care. Here's what happens if you are married and your husband has to relocate or you have to relocate. Child care issues. So I think if an agency can really address some of these issues, and not just for women, because when you start addressing these issues for women, what really turns out, you're addressing these issues for men. It's for everybody. And that's what really needs to take place, to really look at how we can increase our policies to be made more friendly and acceptable to the families today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and to the reality that women physically bear children, and there is a physical component to that.
Yes.
But I think women and I want to say the organization, they grapple with, I think women who maybe are interested in law enforcement, who may also be interested in having their own family, starting their own family, they don't understand how, they don't see how that works. Because as I understand, there are no officially set policies in federal agencies or agency-wide. So they don't really know how's that going to play out for me.
Right. And I think, let's face it, women have children.
It's it's the reality. They physically bear them.
And we want to be part of that change where pregnancy is routine. And this is how it works. And you come in, this is what you can expect. Now, some of the larger police departments, like NYPD, San Francisco, very pregnancy routine. This is what you can expect. You're temporarily disabled. You go on light duty, blah, blah, blah. Okay. For the federal agencies, we know that is different. And I had the privilege of working with the International Association of Chiefs of Police.
Yeah.
I was on their committee, diversity committee, headed up by Deb Campbell, New York State Police, and Karen Kruger, an attorney at Funk and Bolton in Baltimore, Maryland. And basically,
was she on our show last year, 2 years ago?
She was.
She was.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
And basically, speaking about this issue, but we took this policy and we retooled it to address our federal sector. And again, we have taken all of the information and the expertise from a wide variety of people, And we're hoping that this will serve as a guideline. Now, of course, WIFL has no authority to make policy within the federal agencies, but we offer this to the agencies. We're trying to help. We want to be that resource center where if you have an issue with retention with women here, this is what we offer. Mm-hmm. You take a look at it, and if it helps you, tremendous.
WIFL has also participated in a lot of panels with federal agencies needing information and guidance as to how to improve in that particular area. And that's why it's so good to be a part of this organization.
Improve in terms of recruiting women or improve in terms of dealing with the reality that women get pregnant?
The reality that women get pregnant. That is the issue.
And for our listeners who might not be in law enforcement and are just listening to the show for curiosity, what I guess we all are assuming as a foundational fact to this conversation is that law enforcement officers, both in the federal government and state and local, they have what we call physical requirements for the job, physical and medical requirements for the job. You have to meet a certain set of physical guidelines and medical guidelines in order to be fit, determined, qualified for the job. And so at some point, a woman who's 9 months pregnant might not be able to run, kick a door in, be involved in an actual law enforcement operation. And so, that raises the issues of their qualifications for the position. And as I understand from previous shows that we've done with WIFL on this topic, how federal law enforcement agencies manage their female workforce during their pregnancy is very random. And that, as I understand, WIFL's idea is to come up with a uniform policy that might, you're looking for something that's more uniform across agency lines?
We're looking for something that's more comprehensive because a lot of agencies rely on the FMLA, the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, the PDA, and the different firearms policies, which are different amongst all the federal agencies. So it's looking at all of this. Now, to say correct, a woman 8 months pregnant, you should not be putting the first one through the door.
Right.
Okay, this just makes sense.
Right.
Well, but, yeah, there are most women alternative duties.
Right, and most women who are 8 and 9 months pregnant realize that their physical capacity is more limited.
Right. But there are alternative duties that would not have an adverse impact on their LEAP or AUO that they still perform, and they still can be very productive. And that's, part of the aim. When we put this out yesterday, the email came out from Fed agents.
That's right, our publication.
Yes,
we announced that WIFL's comprehensive pregnancy policy was about to be issued, but it hasn't been issued.
We will release it next Friday. But when that happened, I already was getting emails from women on the West Coast. We are so happy. And they start telling me about what happened to them during their first pregnancy. And she's currently, like this particular woman is currently pregnant with her second. She goes, I hope this helps my agency. I could bring it to them. And I sent her an email back, said, we'll release it to you, next Friday. And, we hope it helps too, because that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to help.
Mm-hmm. But WIFL's been working on this for a couple of years, because I remember we had you on our show. Was it 2 years ago, you say, where we talked about it? We had that attorney.
Yes, Karen Kruger.
Yeah. And she was so interesting. And she was talking to us about some of the legal concepts and how you implement it practically. So this has been a work in progress for quite a while.
Yes. And while we were working on it, I am serving on the diversity committee of the IACP. So they, IACP, published this policy for state and local. And that was the product that was put out. And then WIFL took that policy and we retooled it for the federal sector. And then we are the body really that addresses women in federal law enforcement. So what better dissemination than to come out from us?
Now tell us, you're releasing it when and how?
Next Friday, which is April 29th, we will post it on our website and we'll send it to our agency reps. We have 50, 65 agency representatives, so they can bring that to their agency.
Well,
our members, of course.
Yeah. It'll be really interesting, anecdotally, to see what agencies do with it. It's tough times out there for federal managers in the federal workforce. They're mostly trying to figure out how to get the job done with less. And I think a lot of things tend to get backburned, you know. But it'll be interesting to see what agencies do with this policy and how much inertia women in the field can bring to it. Like, I think sometimes it's like the squeaky wheel. Like, if women, and who wants to complain? I mean, that's, you know, that's a problem in the federal system. If you look like you're complaining or taking them on, you know, then you get labeled, especially in law enforcement.
Well, the bottom line is it's still an issue that we have to deal with, Deborah.
It is, but you have to wonder how it's going to gain inertia in certain agencies.
Well, again, it's a guideline, and agencies may take it and take parts of it and say maybe they can build on this area, and that's what we're looking to start the conversation. It has been almost 35, 40 years since sworn women carrying firearms have become pregnant, so it's about time that we take a look at this and seriously come out with something that perhaps the agencies can utilize.
But we know that WIFL will be back on our show next year. So we will get the update on how the agencies you know, responded and reacted to this policy. And again, if you're interested in seeing it, it's going to be posted on WIFL's website, wifle.org, a week from today. Okay. We are going to take our mid-show break. For those of you who have just recently joined us, you're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey, it's the Geico Gecko. Now, as a federal employee, you're probably one for a smart presentation, so I've put together some charts and graphs here. There you go. That will help illustrate the money you could save by switching to Geico. First thing you'll notice is that Geico now offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. Now, this is big news. But that shouldn't come as any surprise from a car insurance company that has been serving government employees since 1936. And as you can see on this graph here, it's probably why we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. Yeah, no, I do actually realise you can't see these, but trust me, they're rather impressive. Especially the 97% customer satisfaction rate. And when you consider it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more, well, all you GS7 employees or above should just contact Geico. Tell him, Mike.
Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey, and the Gecko said it best. Most federal employees GS7, the equivalent or above, could get a discount on their car insurance. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
I'm Bill Bransford, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Fed Talk brings you inside information on hot topics in the federal community. From the halls of Congress to federal agencies, get the latest on the laws, regulations, and activities that directly impact federal employees. Tune into Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, as we bring in the experts to bring you inside the issues.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth. I'm hosting this morning's show, which is our annual show devoted to women in federal law enforcement. And with us in the studio this morning is WIFL's president, Jesse Lane. Jesse, thank you for joining us. This is your maiden voyage, and I think it's working out for you.
Thank you, Deborah. I'm enjoying it.
And Jesse is with the U.S. Secret Service, and Margie Moore is the executive director and one of the founders of the Women in Federal Law Enforcement Association. And it's that time of the show where we like to start talking about WIFL's annual conference, which is really, the agenda is posted online on WIFL's website.
Yes, it is.
And so for those of you who are interested in sort of following along or getting a better flavor for the sessions that are being offered, you can multitask on the internet. You can listen to us and go to WIFL's website. But I thought that we'd have Jesse and Margie tell us about the conference, where it's going to be, how long, and some of the highlights of what you're offering and how you register.
All right. We are approaching our 12th annual leadership training conference. It'll be held in Long Beach, California. And last year we had over 600 people in attendance, and we're expecting that amount this time as well. We have a host of dynamic presenters who will speak on various topics, including diversity and inclusion principles and its impact on the workforce, strengthening intergenerational teams, human trafficking, domestic sexual exploitation of young girls, terrorism and Western radicalization, the New York experience. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many more opportunities for women to expose themselves to leadership training. Margie's probably going to speak about that. We have a new segment just for leaders that are aspiring to greater levels in their law enforcement careers. But again, the conference is open, is for both sworn and non-sworn employees. We have a host of outstanding presenters, and we welcome anyone who wants to be a part of this exciting opportunity.
And to register for the conference or find more, it's all on WIFL's website.
All on WIFL's website. Everything is there. All of the instructions are there, and it's really clear. And please just access the website,
right.
WIFLE.org.
And Jesse, this year you're in Long Beach, California.
Yes, we are.
It's always nice to be in Southern California.
Oh, yes. It's an exciting venue.
It's always amazing the locations that WIFL chooses, because was it last year, Margie, that you got flooded out of or something and you had to do a last minute quick relo?
Yes, we did. We were scheduled for the Gaylord in Nashville. And unfortunately, I just found out they don't want us back. Well, apparently the business is getting so much better now that they don't want to honor the government per diem.
Oh, that's too bad.
So I'm alerting all of our WIFL members and our attendees that we are diligently looking for another site for 2012. But we'll nail it down and have it ready for you to go when you come see us at this year's conference.
It was in Tucson the year before.
Tucson. Yes,
yeah.
We had it in Rancho Mirage, California, Tampa, Florida, yeah. Atlanta, which hosted us last year at last minute. We loved Atlanta. It was a great conference.
Yeah. So this year it's Southern California. I'm going, as I've told everybody, and very excited to be able to be one of the presenters this year in Long Beach. And one of the beauties about being in Long Beach is that you can fly right into Long Beach.
Yes. The people who come, you have a really...
It's really easy.
LAX, which is 19 miles away, or Long Beach, which is like 10, like a $20 cab ride. And then once you're there, you don't need a car. Everything is right there, all walkable distance. The hotels, we have three hotels, the Hyatt, which is the host, and then two blocks to the west is the Renaissance, and then two blocks to the south is the Avia, little boutique hotel. And every single one of them are just lovely hotels, and we're very pleased to be in Long Beach.
Yeah. And as Jesse said, I think last year you had over 600. I think it was close to 650. You're downplaying it, which
yes.
It's an enormous number. And I know that a lot of people, government-wide for various different conferences, were holding off registering because of the budget issues.
Yes.
Or, you know, I'm downplaying that. Let's call it the budget crisis or the budget battle. And now that the CR passed and it looks like there's a budget deal for this fiscal year, I think people are going to be far more comfortable. So you need to start registering, right?
You can start registering right now.
Right. Go to the website, register. And you're taking registrations. Do you take them up to the last minute?
We do. We don't turn anyone away. But if you're not within the last week, you come out, send an email, and then we'll register you on site.
Okay. So, okay, tell us more about the conference. One of the most fascinating things that I think WIFL does is that training day, the first day of the conference. And you always have the coolest things going on.
Yeah. The first day, and then I'm going to toss it over to Jesse to talk about our recruitment day. But on the first day, we like to do training, specialized training that fits in with the area that we're visiting.
And it's very, very interesting what you pull off.
So we're there in Long Beach, and we found out it's one of the busiest ports.
It is. It's the busiest port, I believe, in the world.
The nation's busiest.
Oh, it's the nation's.
Cargo seaport.
Right.
So.
It is the largest, busiest
yes.
seaport for the United States.
Yes. And the U.S. Customs and Border Protection graciously will take their 25 lucky folks on this very comprehensive tour of the port.
Which has got to be very cool.
It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. So that's part of the special training. We have TSA FAMs that have been very cooperative with us throughout a number of years, and they are offering the screening at LAX. And we'll provide bus transportation, but you're going to see how items are screened. I went through this at Reagan. They were very good in offering that training to some of the affiliated groups. And it's very fascinating. And it's good for law enforcement to know this. And that's open to sworn and non-sworn. The cargo is sworn only. Then we have another port tour in the afternoon that's open to all the attendees and their families. And that's on a vessel. And it's given by the port of Long Beach itself. And they're going to take you around the port on a boat for 90 minutes and explain some of their operations. So I think that'll be fun. And it's very good because we have something for everybody to join in on.
Mm-hmm. That's Monday, training day.
That is Monday. And in addition, we have the Julie White Cross Memorial Golf Tournament. And that is one of our primary fundraisers for our scholarship fund. And Julie White Cross was the first woman agent killed in the line of duty. She worked with Secret Service.
Oh.
So.
Yes, that's a very great honor for the Secret Service to have an award in honor of Julie Cross.
Yeah.
Now, you said that there's a recruitment day?
There's a recruitment day, and we're inviting the people in the Long Beach area to be a part of our recruitment day. There will be several federal agencies represented. It'll be Tuesday from 1 to 5.
Oh.
And there will be several announcements open to the public to be a part of this. So several federal agencies will have their recruiters there as an open opportunity for people to come in and learn more about federal careers. So that is a great venue that WIFL offers. And this is really the second or third time we've done this, right, Marjorie?
Yeah, we try and do it at every conference. Sometimes a little bit more difficult. We're very fortunate to have the United States Marshal Service, who coordinated this effort last year. They're doing it again this year with TSA. So we're anticipating about 30 to 35 federal agencies will have their recruitment booths there, and it's open to the public.
Now, when you say there, you mean at your conference?
At the conference. In Long Beach, on site.
And so it's open to the public, for members of the public to come in, women in particular, to come in, learn more about federal law enforcement, speak directly to individuals representing agencies.
Yes, and the actual recruiters will be there. There will be an open session where they'll explain about the various careers, give the interested people an opportunity to ask questions. So it's a great opportunity for people looking for a job in federal law enforcement.
Yeah, and a great
federal
public,
state and local law
And it's a nice public service for WIFL to give back to the local community.
Yes.
Particularly in times like ours right now, where unemployment is still very high, and one of the best employers out there is the United States government. L.A. is a very heavy metropolis area. It's a large population. And, you know, it's a wonderful service, a public service and opportunity WIFL's offering to the local community to come in and learn more. You know, there are, even though it's sort of slowed down, but I think once the CR is passed, I think the plan, I had a radio show a couple of weeks ago with a federal career expert, and who was giving out tips on how to get a great federal job, how to move up through the federal ranks. And one of the things she said was during this budget crisis, it was Kathy Troutman, for those of you who listen to us regularly, was during the budget crisis of the last 3 or 4 months, USA Jobs announcements dropped by 50% because they just weren't posting. They didn't really know what their budget situation was going to be. But she predicted that once it all passed, that you'd see a whole, you know, flow of announcements getting posted. And largely, you know, most federal jobs that are out there, new jobs or jobs that are going to actually fill with, you know, that have the financing, are in law enforcement.
Yeah, there are a number of jobs, but we have been contacted since last week. I think some of the budget issues have been resolved, and the agencies are at least going to be present and to educate the public about what they do. And some actually may be able to be in a recruiting position. So we're very fortunate to have that.
Yeah, I can speak to the Secret Service, who's actively recruiting both our uniform division and our special agent positions, as well as within our administrative, professional, and technical ranks. So all of that information will be available at the conference. Our recruiters will be there to answer your specific questions.
That's great. And so we always like the opportunity to help WIFL get the word out. So that's Monday's training day. Tuesday's recruitment day, but you also have an agenda on Tuesday for your members.
The way we break down the WIFL conference, we have the special training on Monday, and then Tuesday, which is our official opening, it's called the leadership day. So all of our agenda is really directed towards leadership. The second day is law enforcement and security. And then the third day is about you and your federal career.
And that's the day I'm speaking.
That's the day you're speaking. And it's really very interesting because we have Michelle Leonhardt, the first administrator for DEA who came up in the ranks. I mean, Michelle is a real trooper. She has been there forever. She's just wonderful.
Oh, she doesn't like. She's not going to like you saying that. But she's a career. She's a career
Civil servant.
She is career civil servant, career federal law enforcement, career DEA agent.
Right.
Started as an agent.
Yes.
And people have watched her career. Yes. And she was before she was headed the presidential slot of agency head. She was their deputy, wasn't she?
She was a deputy. She was the first woman special agent in charge in Los Angeles
for DEA.
For DEA.
Yeah.
So we're very fortunate to have Michelle, and she's our keynote for Thursday on you and your federal career.
The day I'm
speaking. She's going to tell the story, I'm sure, that a lot of women want to hear.
Mm.
What does it take to get to be the head of an agency? You know, what did she go through, the challenges? And I think Michelle is a very inspirational speaker anyway. It's going to be dynamite.
Yeah. For people who have not met her, it's clear why she rose to the top. It is very clear. She's engaging, she's warm, and yet that balance of, and she's law and order. She's an interesting person, but nothing but, sincere and dead on. You know, she's no nonsense, but very sincere.
I have to also tell you, Deborah, we have the first woman director of the United States Marshals Service, Stacy Hilton.
That's right. I saw that on the agenda.
And we're very excited. She is our keynote at our awards banquet. And both of these women are receiving the WIFL President's Award that evening. So we're very excited, and we're just very glad to have two of the highest ranking women in law enforcement with us.
Yeah. No, I know a lot of people who watched the appointment for the Marshals Service, but we're going to talk more about the conference. We do need to take the final break of our show. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
It's the Geico Gecko with a little hello to all you federal employees. Now, in government, there are people on all points of the political spectrum, but there is one thing that everyone agrees on. Saving money is good, which brings me to the big news. GEICO now offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. It don't matter if you're a Democrat or an aristocrat, left wing, right wing or a chicken wing. If you're a federal employee GS7 or above, you could be saving a lot of money on your car insurance by switching to GEICO. So no matter if you're blue or red or in my case green. If you're a federal employee GS7 or above, contact GEICO and see how much you could save. Isn't that right, Mike?
Exactly right, my little green friend. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. And like the Gecko said, discounts are available for most federal employees, GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local GEICO office to see how much you could save.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth. I'm hosting today's show with women in federal law enforcement. We have with us in the studio the president of WIFL, but she's too busy right now figuring out what her next topic is going to be to speak with. Jessie, are you still with us?
I'm still here, Deborah.
Hi, Jessie. Jessie's with us. She's the president of WIFL. We have WIFL's executive director. Everybody knows Margie Moore. Margie, thank you so much for bringing WIFL back to Fed Talk. And for those of you who might have just joined us, we are talking with WIFL about their annual conference. They do, this is their 12th, I think Jesse said it was their 12th?
Yes, it's 12th. 12th annual conference.
Yeah, and this year it's in Long Beach, California, and it's packed days. You can check out the agenda on WIFL's website, WIFLE.org, and attendance at the conference is open to anyone, but why not join WIFL? If you're going to attend, why not join? For $50 for the year or the discount of $125 for 3 years, why not just join and give financial support to this great organization? As I understand from Jesse, WIFL's been working on something called a Leadership Institute. Which is this your maiden year for the Leadership Institute?
Yes. We solicit feedback every year from our attendees. And one of the items that constantly came up, we love the conference. Could we have something more? along the lines of executive leadership. Because about a third and a third and a third, a third of our folks are 14, 15 SES. Then about a third are in the middle. And then we have a third that are maybe less than 7 years on the job.
Right, the street agent.
So we want to appeal to everybody. We carved out a four-hour block of training to kick off the WIFL executive leadership. And we're very excited about this. It's just geared towards the SES and those grade 15s or 14s who are aspiring to be in the SES ranks. And this is a little bit different. Besides having your regular leadership topics, which everybody...
It's part of the conference,
it's
right?
It's part of the conference.
Part of the conference fee.
It's part of the conference fee. Thanks, Deborah. And the first 50 who sign on will be in that. But you have to sign on, and we're only allowing 50 people. That's all we can handle this first time.
Okay.
But besides the regular leadership, what we're trying to do is to educate women that you, as women leaders, have a responsibility to your organization, to those that you serve, but also to other women around you and what is going on in this country, perhaps with violence against women. How is you as a federal leader, how do you address that? How do you change that? Is your agency involved in that at all? But it's really to take away the isolation sometimes that government employees exist because they're so entrenched in their jobs, and they have to be, that they're so maybe unaware of what else is going on with women around the world and in our own country. So this is part of the education process that we want to bring, this component to the leadership dynamic process.
And it's 4 hours?
It's a four-hour block. It's on our first day. It's on our leadership day. And it will be at the Avia Hotel, just two blocks away. And we look forward to the first 50 signing up.
And so it's a series of sessions?
Series of sessions. We have a very fortunate enough to have a woman, Lauren Ricklin, she's the executive director of a leadership institute herself, and I've heard her speak, and it's really tremendous the way, you know, she does some leadership training. But one of the topics that we're looking at is rape and the definition of rape, and why is that important to women, and what is the definition? When I ask some folks, you know, what do you think the Uniform Crime Report definition of rape is? It's really interesting that it really only captures forcible rape and carnal knowledge of a woman. So therefore, date rape or anyone who maybe is incest, children under 12, this is not captured. That's captured in another system, which the FBI manages. But what is critical is that the UCR is like the Bible to federal, state, and local law enforcement because you go, oh, how many arsons, how many rapes? So therefore, rape is underreported. So we're going to look at the challenges, and the FBI is working with us at trying to make change, to make real change. So something so violent as rape is adequately monitored in this country and reported, and then what do we do about it?
Yeah. Domestic violence has a history because of the nature of it, mm-hmm. of being underreported.
Well, domestic violence, yes, as well as rape.
Yeah, which I think people, you automatically exclude rape from anything that occurs in a domestic situation.
Yes.
So I say the broad category of domestic violence just has a history of being, just because of the nature of it, you know, you're in the same household and you have fear, which is why, you know, it's been just a recent development in our society where they've created these safe houses for women, safe places, so that they can report acts of violence against them, because sometimes it's just not safe.
No.
But for those women who are interested in looking at the leadership agenda and deciding whether or not they want to join on to the Leadership Institute, Margie said it's only open to the first 50. WIFL's expecting at least 600 attendees this year, so you'd want to take a look as soon as possible at the agenda. Decide whether or not you're going to go to the conference and then sign up. I guess when you register?
Yes, when you register, there will be options there that you can select, and that will be one of the options, as well as the special training.
Deborah, when we talk about exploitation of women, Margie and I had an outstanding presentation by the executive director of Courtney's House, Tina Front, on domestic sexual exploitation of young girls. It was one of the most moving presentations that I've ever seen, and Tina's firsthand knowledge of this and the advice that she gives to women and girls to get out of these situations is just remarkable. And I think it's going to be one of the headline as far as the presentations and workshops that we do at the WIFL conference.
It's
going to be exciting.
Oh, so you are having that workshop is going to be at the WIFL conference also?
Yes, it will.
Yeah. No, it's General Assembly. We, as Jesse said, she spoke at our human trafficking, and she's a survivor of sexual exploitation. But the message that she has for law enforcement, people sat there with their mouths open. She spoke for an hour, and people came to me and said, Margie, why couldn't she speak more like 90 minutes? Because she's so dynamic.
Yeah.
But she imparts real wisdom and knowledge to law enforcement to make them better in their jobs.
And she's General Assembly, open to
yes,
everybody.
Open to everyone.
Okay.
Yes.
So I was just going to show up in the middle of the conference because I was speaking towards the end, and now I'm sort of, you know, I'm all perplexed about when I should come. But I, you know, obviously I'm an attorney. I'm not even a federal employee, so I'm wondering if you'll let me into any of the other sessions. I know I can't go on the tour because, you know, I'm
well,
not a sworn
officer.
Well,
one tour is excluded, but everything else.
Yeah, but I want the one, I want the VIP tour. That's the one that's the tour I want. But you know, as part of the conference, you also do awards, right? And
yes.
Scholarships.
Yes.
And I think that's also very important, particularly, you know, Jesse, I think you'd agree because you're into the area of diversity and
yes.
recruitment.
Yes.
I think that's very important to have scholarships and awards that filter out of, you know, the actual employment world where people are doing the job and, you know, getting the message out to people in school or who want to go to school and get into the criminal justice system. So it's nice to bring that as part of your conference. You have awards and scholarships.
Yes. Yeah, our awards program, we have the Julie White Cross Award, which Jesse, you know, made reference to before. It was established under the old interagency committee.
Right,
and
we that.
And we continue to present that award each year. In fact, the director of Secret Service will be there this year to present the award. And we have Julie White Cross's, hopefully her brother and her nephew will be there in their family. And we've met them once before. And they had no idea what their aunt was all about. And they Googled. And then they found us.
Right. It's like you can't be a secret anymore.
No. And they found us. And when they came the first time to our awards ceremony and saw what was going on, they were moved to tears.
Is the award ceremony the dinner? It's open to everybody.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. It's open to everyone. And it's included in the conference registration.
And we have 2 minutes, but you have other awards besides the Julie White Cross.
The Outstanding Federal Law Enforcement Employee, the Outstanding Advocate for Women in Federal Law Enforcement, and the WIFL Leadership Award.
And the Top Prosecutor Award.
Did I fail to mention that?
You failed to mention that.
The Top Prosecutor Award, which we have now. This is our fifth year of presenting that award.
Mm-hmm. Is it too late?
Deadline is May 2nd. Close of business on May 2nd. Either electronically you can submit to WIFL at WIFL.org. Or
nominees for these awards?
Yes. And those instructions have gone out to the agencies on February 1st. So we're receiving awards already.
Okay. Yeah. So those awards will be handed out at the banquet.
Yes. At the banquet.
Wednesday night,
yes.
And it's always nice, you know, when I go to these association conferences when they hand out their awards. It's so teary-eyed.
Yeah.
I get so teary-eyed to see the work people do. You know, and to have somebody nominate you must be a wonderful feeling.
Yes, it is.
So nominations close. Give that date out again.
May 2nd at 5 p.m.
And you have to submit it to WIFL directly.
Yeah.
And you also have a scholarship program where you hand out scholarships. There's information about that on your website. We're running out of time, so we can't get into that in detail, but you do have that on your website. And again, for those who are listening, your conferences, what date?
June 20th, special training. Conference opens June 21st through the 23rd.
In Long Beach, California. Sign up on WIFL's website, WIFLE.org. Jesse, it was so nice to have you on our show.
It was a pleasure to be here, Deborah.
Margie, welcome back.
Thanks, Deb.
Okay, thank you.